booster for your morning. All the news you need to know. It's the WABC Early News on 77 WABC. Now, here's Juliet Huddy and Frank Morano.
Well, good morning. I just got the news, and this is big news for me on a personal level, that my COVID test results are in, and I am negative.
Yay!
So I will be returning to the studio, hopefully by the end of this hour. But if not by the end of this hour, then certainly by Monday. This is the WABC Early News. We actually do have some news that is going to be more pertinent to you than my personal medical history. But Frank Morano here with Juliet Huddy. Good morning, Juliet.
Oh, I'm so happy to hear that. That's wonderful news, Frank. Very, very good. Okay, I'm Juliet Huddy. Deb is following the breaking news stories at the news desk, as you just heard. Christian and Gabby are at the controls. And maybe someplace else. Hint, hint. Stand by for that. Sid is, Sid isn't in today. And so our sports guy. Oh, yes. Christian will be doing sports today. This is so exciting. Frank, I'm psyched about this.
Me too. I hope he does a good job.
Well, he will.
Pretty high. He's better.
You're so mean. Well, when he was on Birdie and Sid the other day talking about some sports story, Sid came into a little meeting that Chad and I were having and Gabby was in and said, hey, just want you to know, the kid was great. He was great. So you've got the bar set very high, Christian. Very
That's true.
High.
That's true.
All right. Tragedy and heartbreak for Lady Gaga. This is so upsetting. I can't even imagine if this happened to my dog, Winnie. We're going to talk about this story about her friend and dog walker who was walking her three dogs and got shot. Two of the dogs gone. Ugh, awful. Also, your Jet Set Julia travel update at 5:40. If you're looking for a unique way to see the U.S. or Europe, I have just the thing. And Frank, I have a feeling that this is your kind of trip.
Oh, boy.
Stick with me on that. Yeah, exactly. And also, Prince Harry has spoken out before his Oprah Winfrey interview. It was supposed to be just sort of this lighthearted thing with James Corden, the late night show host, but he spilled some beans. So we're going to tell you about that at 5:14.
Oh, boy, it's very alluring. At 5:07, it is time for traffic and transit on the sevens with the returning and the inimitable Joe Nolan. Hello there, Joe.
Well, good morning, Frank. Good morning, Juliet. Good morning, everybody. And we're starting out with a problem in Queens, unfortunately, on the Cross Island southbound at Northern Boulevard. There's an accident. Two lanes are out. They're alternately opening and closing all lanes as you get through there. Now, if you're inbound at the Lincoln and Holland Tunnels, George Washington Bridge, all three, with only minor delays, southbound on the southbound New York State Thruway. As you come on down to the Tappan Zee Bridge, again, moving along right across the span, Mass Transit. Everybody there on or close to schedule and alternate side of the street. Parking rules again today are suspended. This support a service of America's Best Contacts and Eyeglasses. Don't overpay for glasses. Get two pairs and a free exam for just $69.95. Now, that's not a better deal. That's America's Best. Book your exam online today in certain states. Eye exams provided by independent ophthalmologists. See store for details. I'm Joe Nolan with Traffic on the Sevens. Talk Radio 77 WABC.
All right, at 5:08, Juliet, a lot of people hoping for some nice weather today. Are you going to let them down?
Oh, no, I'm not going to let them down at all. I'm sorry, I was a little distracted. I just realized that I'm watching a monitor of Fox News, and the female anchor right now, I had a dream about her, I had a dream about Cuomo, and I had a dream about Janice Dean. So clearly I'm watching way, way, way too... Oh, and
my
Lady
Gaga. Goodness.
All last night. I'm watching way too much news. I'm really happy it's Friday. All right, about the weather. Going to be a really nice day today. Yesterday was nice, but it was definitely windy, and that kind of got a little annoying if you were trying to sit outside because it got pretty chilly when you had these winds, especially these really harsh winds. Today we're going to get up to about 45 degrees. It's going to be sunny. We'll have some clouds here and there, but it'll be a nice day. Probably sunny up until about 3-ish. Of course, just when I'm meeting my agent at 3:30, it's going to start getting a little cloudy, but nothing too bad. And the clouds will stay in throughout the later afternoon and into the evening. And unfortunately, we are going to have a rainy weekend all weekend long and into Monday. Saturday will be 52 and rainy, Sunday 44 and rain. But by Monday, we'll have some rain, maybe a little bit of rain early in the morning. Then we'll have clouds and then it makes way for sun in the afternoon, which is great. And we'll get a high of 54 degrees. By Tuesday, we should have sunny skies, just a big blob of sun, but it drops down to 40 degrees, Frank.
All right. Well, pack up the umbrellas and or have them ready, I should say. It should be an interesting weekend in that respect. All right. Well, vaccination efforts continue as more appointments become available. New York City officials say more overnight shifts are opening at the clinic located at the Brooklyn Army Terminal, Bathgate in the Bronx, and City Field in Queens. The city is also doubling efforts to vaccinate at Teachers Prep and Martin Van Buren High Schools, which while sites are set to pop up this weekend in East Harlem and Mill Basin. It comes as the country anticipates the Food and Drug Administration's emergency approval of the Johnson & Johnson vaccine. The newest vaccine is one dose and can be stored at higher temperatures.
All right. Lady Gaga is offering a $500,000 reward, no questions asked, for the return of her French bulldogs. This is such an awful story. Her pal Ryan Fisher, who is a longtime family friend apparently, was dog-sitting for her three French bulldogs while she's away shooting in Rome. The 30-year-old Fisher took the three pups out for a walk at night near his West Hollywood home. And I know this area pretty well. It's a safe area. Beautiful home he lives in, too. So this is just really shocking. So he's taking these dogs out when all of a sudden a van pulls up. He is attacked by two guys who jump out the back, shot in the chest. Two of the dogs grabbed, stolen. Police find the third dog clinging to Fisher as he lay barely breathing on the sidewalk. I mean, she's getting a lot of flack for offering this award. I know you were talking about this with caller on the other side of midnight just a few minutes ago. But clearly, you know, when you got the money and all you can think about is getting your little babies back, I mean, I can understand her emotion. Her friend, as late as last night, I haven't checked this morning, but as late as last night, he was expected to recover.
Do you think she was targeted because they were her dogs, or you think this was at random?
Well, I will say that her dog walker friend has been posting a lot of things online, a lot of Instagram, and, you know, saying that these are her dogs. So it makes, I'm tending to lean towards, this was done deliberately.
Interesting.
But I don't know. I could be wrong.
Officials across New York are not backing down when it comes to allegations against Governor Andrew Cuomo, including Mayor de Blasio. When asked about the latest allegations that Cuomo sexually harassed a former aide, de Blasio said it needed to be taken seriously, calling for a full independent investigation. He stressed the importance of conducting an investigation that's independent. And he said that we, of course, have been chronicling former Cuomo aide Lindsay Boylan, who released a blog post on Wednesday that made detailed accusations that Cuomo sexually harassed her. But he has, of course, denied it.
All right. They number in the millions. The New York DA Cy Vance says he's got them all. Millions of pages of tax returns and other items belonging to former President Donald Trump. The document dump apparently happened just hours after the U.S. Supreme Court denied Trump's last-minute attempt to keep the records out of the DA's hands. The years span from 2011 to 2019, and Vance is looking into whether Trump and his company, the Trump Organization, engaged in any, you know, shadiness, specifically tax or insurance fraud, schemes to defraud, giving over false information about the value of his assets, and so forth. Meantime, the net is growing wider when it comes to the investigation into the Trump world. On Twitter earlier this week, Trump's eldest son, Don Jr., posted a passionate rant calling the whole thing a witch hunt, but also asking, quote, if they're doing this to my father, who won't they do it to? And that actually, Frank, proved prophetic. The Daily Beast reported that Don Jr. is now being investigated along with Trump Organization CEO Alan Weisselberg.
All right. Well, we all know Peter Luger's Steakhouse, the very famous steakhouse in Brooklyn. Now they're celebrating the return of indoor dining with celebrities, but not real ones. The steakhouse in Brooklyn is placing wax figures at tables to ensure social distancing, but make sure the space feels full. Patrons may run into a variety of stars like Audrey Hepburn or Jimmy Fallon.
All right. It is time now for the one.
Oh, boy.
The only. In for Sid Rosenberg, Sid Hollywood, Ferris Rosenberg, we have Christian Arnold. Christian, take it away.
Well, good morning, everybody. Good morning. Appreciate you having me. Well, Every NBA player dreams of having their Madison Square Garden moment. Emmanuel quickly had his last night for the New York Knicks. He was feeling the love from the MSG faithful. While there were only 2,000 fans in the building, he certainly felt the love. He put up 25 points, including 18 in the first half, as the Knicks trounced the Sacramento Kings 140-121. It was Knicks fans who started chanting his name to get him off the bench and onto the court. Here was quickly with his reaction to that.
It's pretty cool to have a whole crowd behind you. Try to never get too high, never too low. So, you know, it's just really cool to have some fans who back you up like that.
Thursday, by the way, was the second time since 1988 that the Knickerbockers mustered 140 points in a non-overtime game. The win was the Knicks' fifth in their last seven games. Across the way, the Brooklyn Nets made it eight straight wins last night with a 129-92 win over the Orlando Magic. Kyrie Irving leading the Nets with 27 points, 9 assists, and 5 rebounds. James Harden added 20 points of his own with 9 rebounds and 7 assists. And Landry Shamet added 19 points off the bench. Here is Kyrie Irving after the win.
We all hold each other accountable, and we just want to have that consistency and have fun doing so. A lot of smiles with the effort that we put on out there, you know, playing in front of our fans that are here in Barclays and also at home.
By the way, the New York Islanders, they came away with a win as well last night out on Long Island, blowing out the Boston Bruins, the NHL East Division leading Boston Bruins, 7-2. It's the first time since 2003. Frank, I believe you're probably in college, maybe in your early 20s in 2003?
Yeah, when were how old?
Well, that was the last time they scored 7 goals or more in a single game against the Bruins. Anthony Beauvillier broke a 2-2 tie in the third period, which opened the floodgates as 4 other Islanders found the back of the net in the final frame. It was a big win for the New York Islanders, according to their captain, Anders Lee.
We're chasing Boston here, and this division is extremely tight. It always has been, and the way this season is laid out, every game is extremely important.
New Jersey Devils came away with a win as well up in upstate New York against the Buffalo Sabres 4-3. And this is a cool story to end here sports with. The New York Mets paid a little tribute to former New York Post sports photographer Anthony Cusi. Cusi died of COVID in April of last year. He was 48 years old, beloved around the sports world. Noah Syndergaard took a moment to recognize him on the first day of pictures for the New York Mets yesterday.
Hey, Anthony. Today is photo day, and it's just not the same without you. It pretty much sucks. We're thinking about you today, and we know that you're snapping photos from above. Miss you, man.
With sports at 15 and 45, I'm Christian Arnold for the WABC Early News.
Yay!
I'd say 6.7.
Oh God, Frank.
That's an honest assessment.
That's terrible.
I really appreciate it, Frank.
I'm gonna say an 8.2.
Right, but you're much more concerned with, you know, his feelings than an objective critique.
I'm not concerned with his feelings. I think for going in there the first time, yes, I think that was a
good job. Well, right, you're grading on a curve. I'm not grading on a curve. That's the difference. I'm not hateful. I love Christian.
That's so mean.
All right.
Just give the guy encouragement. If I heard 6 points, I'd be like, well, why? It just sucked.
Somebody that – no, absolutely not. Somebody that has not seen a 6.7 in many years – Joe Nolan, who does traffic and transit on the 7s.
Well, this accident, guys, on the Cross Island southbound, just south of Northern Boulevard, that is still there. It is still in the process of being cleared. 2 lanes are out there, alternately opening and closing all lanes. So, again, look for that on the Cross Island as you come southbound. Staten Island bound for Arizona, that lower level is closed today. That for the road work. We're doing well coming inbound on the LIE Northern and Southern State Parkways. Really no issues at all. Right on up to the Cross Island. And then, like I said, as you head southbound on the Cross Island, you got that problem at Northern Boulevard. Mass transit, everybody, right on or close to the schedule. An alternate site again today is suspended. I'm Joe Nolan with traffic on the 7s. Talk Radio 77 WABC.
Joe, you're a 10 to me. All right. Frank has your business news coming up. Some updates on the minimum wage increase, or shall I say, there won't be any, apparently. And Frank, old man Frank, I know you're going to love this. A new twist on the classic Orient Express.
Oh.
Yes. Your Jet Set Juliet travel update coming up at 5:40.
This is the WABC Early News.
This is the WABC Early News at 5:20. I'm Frank Moreno. The opening bell rings this morning after stocks plummeted yesterday on word of increasing 10-year Treasury yields. The yields spiked to the highest point in a year, unnerving investors into the sell-off. All that came in spite of promising job numbers released yesterday. Initial unemployment claims dropped to about 730,000 for the week ending February 20th. Now, speaking of jobs and employment, a minimum wage increase is no longer included in a massive coronavirus relief package. The Senate parliamentarian ruled yesterday that it couldn't be packaged in the nearly $2 trillion COVID plan. That's because Democrats are passing the COVID measure under a process that allows a simple majority vote, but a minimum wage increase doesn't meet the standards to be included. Democrats are trying to boost the minimum wage to $15 an hour. They can still do that, but such a bill would need Republican support. Juliet.
All right. Nice day out today. It's going to get up to about 45 degrees and sunny. WABC Early News Time 521. Opulent trains, Italian castles, and Paris. A dream vacation. And I'll tell you how you can start planning. It's your Jet Set Juliet travel update coming up at 540. But first, let's head over to the news desk. It's time for Deb's News Minute.
All right, Juliet, 36 cloudy skies. Black sedan with New Jersey plates fled the scene after a 25-year-old man, a passenger in a Chevy Malibu, was shot and killed early this morning. This went down in Glendale, Queens, following a verbal dispute. Longtime NYPD chief Terrence Monahan has, in fact, retired from the NYPD. The new chief, former chief of detectives, Rodney Harrison.
I've worked in every single borough. I know this city like the back of my hand. I've worked in five different bureaus, so I've been in the trenches. I've been out there with the men and women to what has to be done to make this city safe.
And Monahan will serve in a new advisory role at City Hall. An FDA panel of experts today will debate Johnson & Johnson's potential single-dose COVID-19 vaccine, said to be 66% effective. Well, Dow futures mixed, the Dow down 6, the S&P up 5, the NASDAQ down 6 as well. I'm Deborah Valentine. Juliet has your full Ramsey Mazda Weather Center forecast.
Thank you very much, ma'am. It is 36 degrees right now in Manhattan. Today is going to be a nice day, sunshine, maybe some afternoon clouds starting about 3 o'clock. We'll hit probably mid-40s, 44, 45 or so. So, again, great day to go out to lunch, hang out, maybe have a cocktail a little bit later on in the afternoon. Unfortunately, the clouds start coming in later on today, and as we head into the overnight hours, we'll start to get rain. And rain will continue through Saturday, through Sunday. I mean, we've got a 98% chance on Saturday, an 87% chance on Sunday, and Monday morning. But then we should see some clouds lead to sun Monday afternoon. Now, this weekend's temperatures will be actually pretty mild, between ranging from about 45 degrees to 52, 53 degrees. So not freezing, and we're not going to see any snow, thank goodness. Monday will hit 54, and again, we'll see some clouds and afternoon sun, so maybe a nice day to go out to lunch then. Tuesday, sunny, but the temperatures drop down to about 40 degrees. And Wednesday, we should be in for some showers, but that's a little far off, so I'll keep you updated.
All right. Well, grab the umbrella. Peter Gotti, the brother of famed Gambino crime boss John Gotti, passed away Thursday behind bars inside a federal correctional facility in Butner, North Carolina. The 81-year-old who was serving a 25-year sentence on racketeering charges died of natural causes. He recently asked prison officials for an early release, telling them his health was poor and he had given up the gangster life, but that request was rejected. Gotti had been the boss of the Gambino family for years after his brother John was sent to prison for murder and racketeering. John Gotti died of cancer behind bars in 2002.
Well, we're finding out some more information about that tragic, horrible story from earlier this week. A woman and her young son were found dead in a New Jersey pond. Another child, a six-year-old, was thankfully found alive nearby, and he was actually the one. He was screaming for his mother, and that notified and alerted locals who called the police. Well, it turns out the family itself had been dealing with an absolute nightmare. According to one of the family friends of the victims, the woman, the mother's brother, died 2 days ago, and her sister died 3 days ago, both of COVID. And also the woman's husband is in the hospital dealing with stage four cancer. So it's just been an absolute nightmare. Yeah. However, the family friend says he does not think it was anything more than just a terrible accident. But of course, police are investigating. So sad.
That is sad. Michigan State Police say a former U.S. Olympics women's gymnastic coach committed suicide hours after being charged with human trafficking and sexual assault. John Goddard's body was found at a rest area yesterday. The one-time USA National Coach of the Year was charged with more than 20 counts and faced decades in prison if convicted. He owned a gymnastics club and worked closely with convicted sex offender and former team doctor Larry Nassar.
Man, it's amazing those girls just achieved so much dealing with what they were dealing with. Unbelievable. All right, Dr. Anthony Fauci on CNN yesterday, he said common sense shows that, look, two fully vaccinated people who meet up, look, it's an extremely low-risk activity. He said the White House has been actually in talks with the CDC about lifting restrictions on socializing to allow people who have been vaccinated fully to meet in private spaces. It's great news. Also, hospitalizations fell to their lowest level since November 4th yesterday. And Fauci says vaccines are certainly helping to bring this pandemic under control. That is clear. But they're not the only thing. He says it's not the single factor. It's a combination of things. He said, look, the spike in December, the spike in January was caused by unsafe behavior like travel for the holidays. So just keep social distancing and wearing those masks.
Mm. And at 527, wherever you're going this morning, hopefully Joe Nolan can help get you there with traffic and transit on the sevens. Hello there, Joe. Good morning.
Staten Island bound Verrazano Bridge. Again, that lower level is closed. That for the road work that's there every night. Cross Island, though, southbound at Northern Boulevard. Pretty bad accident. Two lanes are out. They're alternately opening and closing everything as you come down to this. So just be aware of that again. And then also as you travel out onto the southbound side of the New England Thruway, we're good from Westchester all the way down to the city. Connecticut Turnpike, that road work that's usually up on the overnight up in the Stanford area, they're picking that up. And alternate side of the street, parking rules and regulations once again today are suspended. This report of service of America's Best Contacts and Eyeglasses. Don't overpay for glasses. Get two pairs and a free exam for just $69.95. That's not just a better deal. It's America's Best. Book your exam online today in certain states. Eye exams provided by independent ophthalmologists. See store for details. I'm Joe Nolan with Traffic on the 7s. Talk Radio 77 WABC.
Thank you very much. Why Prince Harry left the royal world. He finally speaks out. That story coming up. But first, Deb has your headlines.
All right, 36 mostly cloudy skies. I'm Deborah Valentine from the 77 WABC Early News Desk. A suspect walked right into the Manhattan DA's office last evening, turning himself in after stabbing a 36-year-old Asian-American man in his back. The stabbing on Worth Street down in Chinatown.
I don't even have a word to describe how I feel right now.
And that woman down in Chinatown last night reacting to that stabbing. The victim underwent surgery, but his condition is said to be deteriorating. The suspect was being questioned by officers from the 5th Precinct. No charges announced yet. And the NYPD still on the scene in Glendale, Queens, after a 25-year-old man, a passenger in a vehicle, is dead after a driver pulled up to his vehicle and opened fire at the intersection of Myrtle Ave and Woodhaven Boulevard about 12:45 a.m. A verbal dispute preceded there, and a black sedan with New Jersey plates fled the scene. Well, additional supplies of COVID-19 vaccines have arrived in New York City following last week's storm-related shipment delays, and so much so, New York City Mayor de Blasio says New York City is able to ramp up COVID-19 vaccination appointments.
We're adding overnight shifts at the Brooklyn Army Terminal, at the Bathgate site in the Bronx, at Citi Field in Queens. We're doubling the number of appointments at some of the key sites in communities where we're focusing on fighting disparity at teachers' prep and at Martin Van Buren High Schools.
And appointments and locations hours can be found at nyc.gov/vax4, the number for NYC. A longtime NYPD Chief Terrence Monahan has, in fact, retired.
New Chief of Department Roddy Harrison says he has every cop's back and that he's ready for the job.
I've worked in every single borough. I know this city like the back of my hand. I've worked in 5 different bureaus. So I've been in the trenches. I've been out there with the men and women to what has to be done to make this city safe.
Harrison elevated to the position following the retirement of Terry Monahan, who will be taking on a new role in the mayor's office as senior advisor to recovery safety training.
Born and raised in the Bronx, some people say I may have a little bit of an accent, but I love New York.
Harrison had previously served as chief of detectives. I'm Bob Brown for 77 WABC News.
All right, futures in the red, the Dow down 559 points, 36 fair skies. I'm Deborah Valentine. Fox is next.
News. I'm Carmen Roberts. Defense Secretary Lloyd Austin praising the U.S. forces who carried out President Biden's order yesterday for airstrikes on a target in Syria.
I'm really proud of the men and women in our force who carried out the strike. As you would expect, they performed in a very professional manner.
Austin says the U.S. targeted facilities used by the Iranian-backed militant groups last week to attack Iraq. The BBC reports the Syrian Observatory for Human Rights says the U.S. attack killed at least 17 pro-Iranian fighters. And the FDA may grant emergency use approval today for Johnson & Johnson's vaccine.
If the new Johnson & Johnson vaccine is okayed by the committee, then approved by the FDA, distribution of the shots could start within days.
Fox's Tanya J. Powers. America's listening to Fox News.
Entertaining and informative. It's the WABC Early News on 77 WABC. Now, here's Juliet Huddy and Frank Morano.
Thank you, announcer man. It is 36 degrees. WABC Early News time is 5:31. I'm Juliet Huddy, along with Frankie No COVID Morano. Coming up in your Jet Set Juliet travel update at 5:40. A trip across the Alps. You never have to unpack. But first, we've got your headlines, Frank.
All right. Well, health officials in New York City are trying to ease any fear following a report of a new coronavirus variant spreading quickly in the city. The New York Times cited research suggesting this new variant is rapidly spreading and that vaccines might be less effective against it. However, the city's health commissioner says there's no evidence the new variant is contributing to a trajectory of cases and no evidence the vaccines are less effective. He also said science around this variant is not as established as the other variants.
All right. Well, speaking of, we keep hearing about these mutant strains. Here is some good news. Pfizer says they're looking at a booster dose, a third jab, basically. They're studying it on people already who got their first dose more than 6 months ago. So these were like the guinea pig people. Right now, the Pfizer vaccine has roughly 95% effectiveness after two doses. So the theory is, well, look, if we give them three, will it stand up to these more powerful contagious strains? Pfizer's CEO certainly thinks so. He told NBC he thinks that third time's not only the charm, but it'll raise the antibody response 10 to 20 fold.
All right. Well, a federal judge in Texas has ruled that a nationwide moratorium on evictions is unconstitutional. U.S. District Judge John Barker ruled yesterday that the federal government does not have the authority to stop residential evictions and that Congress lacks the authority to grant the CDC the power to halt evictions. The ruling comes after a group of Texas property owners sued the CDC over an eviction moratorium issued last September because of the pandemic. The moratorium was set to end in January, but President Biden extended it until the end of March.
All right. I always got a kick out of this guy. I really did. Former Speaker of the House. He got a little salty, and it's all on tape, and he wants it that way. John Boehner, remember Mr. Tan Man? He was recording his audiobook recently. He's actually going through that process now. And apparently, he's into going off script. He admits in one instance he poured some wine, and he was known to pour some wine quite frequently, as a matter of fact. And while he was talking about Ted Cruz, the Republican reportedly veered off course just enough to, tell Cruz to go F himself. On the House, a Washington memoir comes out April 13th. I, for one, will definitely be buying this one.
I will probably join you in that. He is an interesting guy.
Oh, yeah. He's a wild one.
Yeah. All right. Oreo cookies are trending after a tweet supporting transgender people. The Nabisco brand sent a three-word tweet on Thursday simply stating, "Trans people exist." The tweet came as the U.S. Senate debated the confirmation of an openly transgender federal official to the Health and Human Services Department. If confirmed, Dr. Rachel Levine would be the highest ranking openly trans official in U.S. history.
Yeah, there was some controversy there while she was testifying. Right-wing Congresswoman Marjorie Taylor Greene, meantime, no stranger to controversy. In fact, I mean, frankly, I think she happily courts it. The latest example is she posted a video of herself putting up a sign outside of her office reading, quote, "There are two genders, male and female. Trust the science." The problem is, for some, that sign was intended to challenge a Democratic colleague whose office is right across the hall and whose child is transgender. The moves, as you said, comes as the House considers the Equality Act, which would ban discrimination against LGBTQ Americans.
Well, the chance to live next to Area 51 is here for $4.5 million.
Oh.
That's how much a cattle ranch, Juliet, is selling for. It sits beside the top secret military base in Nevada. The 80-acre ranch includes two manufactured homes and two barns. It also comes with a permit for 250 cows to graze on Area 51. But there's a catch. The new owner will have to contact the base first as part of a deal worked out with the Air Force years ago.
All right, Frank, we're getting some new information about the prevalence of white supremacy in the military. CNN reporting that it got a look at a Pentagon report on extremism. And the analysis was commissioned, by the way, by Congress back in October. So obviously before January 6th or anything like that. It concluded, and this is important, that extremism is not widespread in the military. However, it does suggest that those that are affiliated are a growing concern because their military background gives them a greater ability to pull off, quote, high impact events.
All right. Well, 5:37, time for traffic and transit on the sevens with Joe Nolan. How are the roads looking this morning, Joe?
Well, a couple of problems now in New Jersey. First of all, on the westbound side of Route 80, there was a pretty bad accident out there between 53 and 52. Apparently, they've moved this all to the shoulder. Everything is open, but still some rubbernecking as you get past there. Now, southbound on the Garden State Parkway at 127, there is an accident with two lanes out and a lot of equipment around that. Cross Island, status quo, south of Northern Boulevard, an accident. Two lanes are out of service. And don't forget that Staten Island bound lower level horizontal closed with construction. Everybody being diverted to the upper. Mass Transit, everyone right on or close to schedule, and alternate side of the street parking rules and regulations are suspended. I'm Joe Nolan with traffic on the sevens, Talk Radio 77 WABC.
All right, are you anxiously awaiting those tax refunds or tax refund? Hope you've got some anti-anxiety meds because it's going to be a little bit longer. That's going to be coming up in Frank's business report. Also, a dream vacation spanning the country with the most beautiful scenery. And not only do you not have to fly, you don't even have to unpack. The story coming up in your Jet Set Juliet travel update.
All the news that's fit to be heard. It's the WABC Early News on 77 WABC.
This is the WABC Early News. I'm Frank Morano. Some bad news for you early filers. The IRS says tax refunds are going out a lot slower this year because of a late start. The tax agency said yesterday that it had issued nearly $47.4 billion in refunds through last Friday. That's 59% less than the $117 billion in refunds issued by the same time last year. The IRS started processing income tax returns on February 12th, more than 2 weeks later than last year. The IRS said it needed extra time this year to program its systems to reflect new rules that were signed into law in late January, Juliet.
All right, so get your pad and paper, but I'll also post this on my Twitter, at Juliet Huddy TV. Time now for your Jet Set Juliet travel update. Lots of folks are hesitant to fly. So, you know, people are looking for an alternative, different modes of transport to take their vacations. Cars, so 2020. Instead, take one of these fabulous new train journeys. I'm going to tell you about three of them. Number one, it's the one closest to home. This summer, you can take a journey through the Rockies to Red Rocks on the Rocky Mountaineer. It starts in Moab, Utah, and it ends up in Denver with a night in Glenwood Springs, Colorado. You're going to be moved to tears by the great American West scenery, and the gourmet cuisine helps too. It's supposedly an absolutely beautiful, beautiful trek. Number two, this ain't the Ural, people. Another trip I am dying to take. It's not cheap, but man, is it glam. I mean, this is kind of like the once-in-a-lifetime thing. Belmond's Orient Express. Yes, the legendary locomotive is launching new routes to Paris. You can now board in Rome, Florence, Geneva, Brussels, or Amsterdam. I can't even begin to tell you how beyond this is. The carriages, I mean, all you have to do is go online and look at them. They are stunning. They're restored to their Art Deco finest, but you can begin the entire experience by spending a night in a castle dating back to the 10th century in Italy. Absolutely incredible. Number three, finally, It's island hopping Swiss style. Jump on the Golden Pass Express by Pininfarina. If you know that name, it's the same firm that designs Ferraris and Maseratis. And so they have designed this beautiful train. You watch the Bernese Alps go by through anti-reflection floor-to-ceiling windows. Bring your skis because you'll be stopping at some of the most exclusive resort towns on the planet in Switzerland, including Montreux, Stade, and Interlaken. It looks so amazing. The Orient Express one, though, I am trying to figure out a way that I could scam a free trip or something.
we should do a listener trip.
We've got a lot of listener trips to do. But yeah, I actually, you know, we really need to work on this stuff. Also, one of the biggest tourist attractions in Europe is the royal family of Great Britain. They bring in billions of dollars and millions of tourists. And so on this Friday, I'd like to honor the family to whom I truly believe I belong. And we start with the most controversial members, the outcasts, Prince Harry and Meghan. Ahead of their no-holds-barred interview with Oprah next month, the prince might have given us a little tease of what to expect, surprisingly, when he was on with late-night host James Corden. Prince Harry revealed to James Corden that he has stepped back from his royal duties because he says the British press was toxic and he was basically his mental health was being destroyed. He gave a really candid interview. They were actually, this is the reason that I'm sort of surprised by this, because they were touring Los Angeles together on an open air bus, you know, one of those Hollywood, you know, stars buses, having afternoon tea, riding around Hollywood doing this interview. He talked about, again, why he withdrew from his royal duties. He said, I didn't walk away, but I had to leave because the British press was affecting my health. They were attacking my wife. And he said it was a difficult environment. And as for being removed from his patronages, you know, being the face of the Royal Marines, he says, I'm always going to contribute. My life is public service. Wherever I go, I will be giving back. And he says that Meghan and he are trying to bring some compassion and make people happy and change the world in any way they can. He also talked about the Queen buying their son Archie a waffle maker for Christmas. He said he knew Meghan was the one on their second date. He hasn't really seen much of L.A. because of the lockdown. He actually liked The Crown because he thinks, you know, it doesn't portray it as news. People know that it's, you know, it's entertainment. And if he was going to be portrayed in the series, he would like to be portrayed by the actor Damon Lewis from Homeland and Billions.
A fine actor.
I love him. Love that guy. Yes.
No, very talented.
Yeah. And finally, there's a new documentary. It follows the lead up to the other royal superstar couple, Prince William and Kate. Their 10th anniversary is coming up. And the documentary is called The Day Will and Kate Got Married. It's basically the inside backstory of the star-studded wedding. It's got interviews with Middleton's family, the royal dressmaker, cake maker, you know, this person, that person. And basically, it just relives the pageantry of that day. I know that you are so excited about that, but let me tell you, I will be first in line to watch.
Well, good. I'm happy if it's something that brings you happiness,
Julia. That's really sweet of you.
Well, it's true. It's true. I mean, I'm not going to watch it, but I'm glad if it brings you contentment even slightly that it's out there.
That's really nice. Thank you. Thank you. Well, makes me teary-eyed.
And we're all content whenever Christian Arnold is in for Sid Rosenberg doing sports. Christian Arnold, what's happening in the world of sports?
Well, good morning, Franklin, Juliet. I'm going to try and get a 7 this time, so we'll see what happens. Last night on the hardwood, it was a good night for New York basketball. Both the Brooklyn Nets and the New York Knicks came away with big wins. The Brooklyn Nets made it 8 straight wins last night with a 129-92 win over the Orlando Magic. Kyrie Irving led the Nets with 27 points, 9 assists, and 5 rebounds. James Harden added 20 points of his own with 9 rebounds and 7 assists. Landry Shamet added 19 points off the bench. By the way, this is all without Kevin Durant, I should say, in the lineup. This was Kyrie Irving after the game.
Hold each other accountable, and we just want to have that consistency and have fun doing so. A lot of smiles with the effort that we put on out there, you know, playing in front of our fans that are here in Barclays and also at home.
At the world's most famous arena, Emmanuel Quickley was feeling the love from the MSG faithful during a record night for the New York Knicks. Quickley put up 25 points, including 18 in the first half, as the Knicks trounced the Sacramento Kings 140-121. It was the fans that got him into the game. They began chanting his name in the first quarter, and this is what he had to say about that.
It's pretty cool to have a whole crowd behind you. Try to never get too high, never too low. So, you know, it's just really cool to have some fans who back you up like that.
Thursday was only the second time since 1988 that the Knickerbockers mustered 140 points in a non-overtime game. The win was the Knicks' fifth in their last seven games. Over to baseball, the Mets are trying to figure out where to put Dominic Smith. He's a natural first baseman, but that position is obviously occupied already by Pete Alonso. The likelihood, though, is that he will end up playing left field, which he has struggled with in the past. However, he's growing more and more confident with his ability to play in the outfield.
I know I could play left field, right field. I'm competitive, and I believe in my ability.
New York Yankees manager Aaron Boone announced his starter for Sunday's spring training opener against the Toronto Blue Jays. Mike King will get the nod. He is fighting for a rotation starting spot in the Bombers' rotation this season. On the ice, the Islanders beat the Boston Bruins 7-2. The New Jersey Devils won 4-3 in upstate New York over the Buffalo Sabres. The Rangers take on the Bruins tonight at Madison Square Garden. This will be their first night with fans back in the building for hockey games. With sports at 15:45, I'm Christian Arnold for the WABC Early News.
Yes!
All right.
Yes!
That's a 7.2.
I'll take that. That's
I'm saying that is like up in the nines, Christian.
You know what? Improvement, you just got to get better each time you're on.
See, exactly. The thing is, I feel like you take Frank's ratings more seriously than you take mine.
No,
because you're buying into Frank's BS, but Christian, I'm critical.
No, the best, whether it's sports or anything else, the best people take the criticism, every criticism, and they learn from it, and they just get better each time.
You
on.
Take it as constructive, and
yep.
That's very true. All right.
Absolutely.
Well, honestly, it was a 4.3.
Wow. Okay. All right, that's
just
a little
mean. Love you. Love you, Extra. You did a great job.
Let's grade Joe Nolan's traffic and transit report at 547. He's got traffic and transit on the 7s. Hello, Joe.
Well, a couple of problems now in New Jersey. First of all, on the westbound side of Route 80, there was a pretty bad accident out there between 53 and 52. Apparently, they've moved this all to the shoulder. Everything is open, but still some rubbernecking as you get past there. Now, southbound on the Garden State Parkway at 127, there is an accident with two lanes out and a lot of equipment around that. Cross Island status quo, south of Northern Boulevard, an accident. Two lanes are out of service. And don't forget that Staten Island bound lower level horizontal closed with construction. Everybody being diverted to the upper. Mass transit, everyone right on or close to schedule. And alternate side of the street parking rules and regulations are suspended. I'm Joe Nolan with Traffic on the 7s. Talk Radio 77 WABC.
Thank you, Joe. From the Ramsey Mazda Weather Center, nice day today. We're going to get into the mid-40s with some sunshine. Few afternoon clouds later on in the day, but again, high in the mid-40s. 40s, probably 44, 45-ish. By tonight, however, cloudy skies, periods of rain late in the night. We're going to get down to a low of 36. Saturday, 52 degrees, but rain. Sunday, 44 degrees, but rain. Monday, rain. In the morning, though, we'll have some clouds that will part for afternoon sun, and we'll look probably into the 54, 55 degree range, which is really great. So actually it starts off kind of lousy, but ends up nice. Tuesday, sunny skies down to 40, though. Wednesday, showers again, supposedly, but we'll see about that. And right now it is 36 degrees in Manhattan.
All right. Well, New York City is moving to transform parts of Rikers Island into a green energy hub. Mayor Bill de Blasio signed legislation yesterday transferring portions of Rikers Island to the Department of Citywide Administration Services beginning in July before the land is fully transferred over to the group by 2027. The legislation also establishes a Rikers Island Advisory Committee made up of family members of those formerly incarcerated, environmental advocates, and sustainability experts. Apparently, the goal is to turn Rikers Island into a renewable energy space to fight climate change and protect the earth.
All right. Well, he's not incarcerated, but a Washington, D.C. news anchor is taking some forced time off after some controversial comments that he made about vaccine recipients. Fox 5 news anchor Blake McCoy suspended after ranting on air about being annoyed that obese people get priority over essential workers when it comes to vaccines. He was apparently lamenting about the fact that, like many of us in the media, he had to go to work through the pandemic. And he said, look, you know, we're considered essential workers. I had to go in. I put my family at risk. He finished up saying, quote, vaccinate all essential workers, then obese. Well, that didn't go over well. He was ripped on social media for fat shaming and has since, like I said, been suspended.
Wow.
Yeah, can't say anything anymore, apparently.
Yeah. A 66-year-old man in Ireland is proving that age is just a number. He's now the world's oldest ice mile swimmer. He plunged into freezing water with a temperature below 23 degrees. That was one of the rules. The other was no breaks. After training for several months, he pulled it off. He managed to finish the mile in 43 minutes and 28 seconds. Mm. His swim club posted a congratulations on Instagram, calling him tough as tusk.
Hey, I don't know if you know this, Frank. I always talk about this. So every weekend after my husband and I get coffee, we go on a drive. You know, we like to explore the neighborhoods. We like to look at the beautiful mansions, mainly along the Gold Coast. You know, they're North Shore. We always spot some amazing property, and then I immediately pull over and I get on Zillow and I want to see, you know, how much it is and what it looks like inside. Well, now people aren't just looking for homes on Zillow. Zillow's looking for homes on Zillow. The company has started to shift its business model. It's now actually buying up and selling homes through its new division called Zillow Offers. So when you are on Zillow and you see the Zestimate on certain homes, like it'll give you, you know, what your house is worth, what it estimates that your house is worth. The online estimate that they give you of your home's value, it'll actually represent an initial cash offer from the company to buy the property on certain homes. Now, I don't know what these certain homes criteria is, but that's really interesting. The Zillow bosses call it a one-stop shop for home searching, buying, and selling. So I wonder, I mean, you know, some people have a problem selling their home. I wonder if this means that they could just say, hey, Zillow, you know, here's the Zestimate. I'm willing to take it. Buy it. I wonder how immediate that is. Yeah.
Yeah, that's going to be very interesting.
Yeah.
That is wild. A $35 Connecticut garage sale location or find could bring the new owner $500,000. Sotheby's Auction House in New York says the small blue and white floral bowl is actually a piece of China's history from the 15th century.
Oh, wow.
China's imperial court used the bowl during the Ming Dynasty in the early 1400s. The auction house says there are only six other bowls known to have survived that period of history. It will hit the auction block next month.
You know, this little segment here, this should be like our history segment where we talk about all these amazing finds and things like that, because I've got one too. A rare, virtually unseen painting by Vincent van Gogh is about to go on public display for the first time before it's auctioned off. Translated from French, it's called Street Scene in Montmartre. And it was painted in 1887, which is just a few years before he committed suicide. It's part of his series showing the Montmartre neighborhood in Paris as it used to be. It's been in a French family's, very wealthy family, of course, their private collection for more than 100 years. But now they're putting it up for auction. And before they do, lucky visitors to the various Sotheby's overseas, because it's going to be moved around for the next few days, they'll be allowed to view, or next few weeks, they'll be allowed to view it. So you could just go to Sotheby's and check it out, like in Amsterdam and I think maybe Hong Kong. It goes up for auction March 25th at the Paris Sotheby's. Experts expect it to fetch roughly $10 million.
Wow.
I will not be putting in an offer for that. I can only afford $5 million.
New Jersey plans on granting $14 million to various organizations in support of restaurants who've been struggling amidst the pandemic. The New Jersey Economic Development Agency launched Serve and Sustain last year to support expenses directly related to purchasing bulk meals from restaurants. The group expects to be able to purchase 1.5 million meals from 160 restaurants in roughly 70 cities across New York and distribute them at distribute them at no cost.
So you're a scotch guy, or what do you drink? What's your drink of choice?
It's a shorter list of things that I don't drink, honestly.
Okay.
So during spring and summer, I will be a Bombay Sapphire Martini. That's my standard drink.
Mm-hmm.
During winter and fall, I go with a bourbon or a scotch neat.
Okay. Well, so you're not a club soda guy, because I'm kind of getting a little tired of my Tito's and boring club soda. And there's great news for those of us who are tiring of this concoction, or any concoction with just the basic club soda. PepsiCo has just the fix for us. It's coming out with a line of four non-alcoholic mixers. You just add the mix to your booze and cheers. Flavors include the citrus-flavored margarita mix, a strawberry lime flavored strawberry daiquiri mix, lime mint flavored mojito mix, and a lemon flavored whiskey sour mix. There's no word yet on whether they're planning on getting into the hard seltzer game, though. But, you know, this is a start, I think. I wonder how this stuff tastes. Sometimes it's too sweet. You know, sometimes they just make this stuff too sweet. But I guess if it's a mix, then you just pour in, you know, what
right.
You
well,
like
that's
to taste.
What I'm not clear about is how is this different from every other type of mix that's available already?
Well, because Pepsi hasn't done it.
Before. I see. I see. But materially, it sounds the same, more or less, right?
Yeah, Frank, I guess so. I was just excited. I mean, you know, I said there's something else on the market, but thanks for
I'm not trying to
on my parade.
Cold water on your parade. You know, again, you always assume I'm being critical. I ask a question.
Well, that's from my father.
Critical.
That's from my father.
Is that what it
Do you
is?
Want to talk about it? Yeah.
No. We'll
no,
leave
I know.
The
I know
Freudian
you...
analysis
from my website.
Exactly.
From my podcast.
All right. Well,
from my book.
In a similar vein to the story you just did, not to the father issues, Burger King is bringing back two fan favorites, but they won't stick around long. The Sourdough King will only be served through April 19th. This includes a quarter pounder patty topped with bacon, cheese, ketchup, and mayonnaise between two sourdough slices. And get this, anyone who has a silent G in their name can get it free through the BK app.
What?
Cheesy Tots are also back. Fans beg for them every time the bite-sized snack disappears. No word how long they'll stay on the menu this time.
Wait, anybody that has a silent G in their name?
Yeah,
like
sourdough. Well, I mean, I don't know how many D'Artagnans there are out there, but I guess so.
Okay.
You know.
All right, Frank, it is the end of an era down in New Orleans. And some are saying cheers to that. Others are saying, ugh, woke alert. The Big Easy's last brewery has changed its name. Dixie Brewing Company will now be called Faubourg Brewing Company. Do you like that little French twist?
I Faubourg. Do.
Gail Benson is the owner of the 114-year-old brand, and she also owns the Saints and the Pelicans, by the way. She says that she changed the name in the wake of the George Floyd killing last May. Faubourg, by the way, means neighborhood in French.
5:57, time for traffic and transit on the 7th with Joe Nolan. How's it looking, Joe?
Frank, Juliet, Garden State Parkway, southbound bumper to bumper, coming down to 127, an accident. Two lanes are out of service through there. And then out on Route 80, all lanes were closed at exit 53. They've got that all off to the side now. LIE on the inbound side at Springfield Boulevard, an accident, one lane out. And status quo on the Cross Island, southbound at Northern Boulevard, an accident with two lanes out. They're alternately opening and closing all of those. An alternate side of the street parking rules again today are suspended. Mass Transit running right on or close to schedule. In this report, it's the service of America's best contacts and eyeglasses. Don't overpay for glasses. Get two pairs and a free exam for just $69.95. That's not just a better deal. It's America's best. Book your exam online today in certain states. Eye exams provided by independent ophthalmologists. See store for details. I'm Joe Nolan with traffic on the 7s. Talk Radio 77 WABC.
All right. Thanks, Joe. We've still got a lot more show for you. We go until 6:30. Lady Gaga news, an update on her. Also an update on El Chapo's beauty queen wife. And what the real story was behind her arrest.
Well, it's a whole lot more news left to go for the next half hour. Sports with Christian Arnold, who's in for Sid Rosenberg. Traffic with Joe Nolan. Business and some other headlines. First, here's Fox News with all the national news you need to know to get through your day.
Russia condemns the U.S. airstrikes on Syria. I'm Dave Anthony, Fox News. Those airstrikes went after Iran-backed militia.
We're confident in the target that we went after. We know what we get.
That's Defense Secretary Lloyd Austin. Fox's Simon Owen has more live.
Dave, reports from the Middle East suggest at least one fighter was killed, although some accounts say at least 17 people died. The Pentagon says the airstrikes were retaliation targeting militia groups backed by Iran following recent attacks against American personnel in Iraq. Russia, which is heavily involved in the war in Syria, says it strongly condemns the strikes, insisting Syria's sovereignty should be respected. Dave?
Simon, two U.S. warships in the Persian Gulf are dealing with coronavirus outbreaks. About a dozen sailors infected on the USS San Diego and others stricken on the cruiser USS Philippine Sea. A COVID outbreak last year on an aircraft carrier afflicted more than 1,100 sailors. One died.
We have doubled the daily vaccination rate.
from where it was when we took office.
President Biden marking the 50 millionth COVID vaccine shot since his inauguration, reiterating there should be enough doses for every American by the end of July. A third version of the vaccine could soon be approved under consideration today.
The Food and Drug Administration's Independent Advisory Committee will review the Johnson & Johnson data on its COVID-19 vaccine, then vote on whether or not it will recommend it for emergency use.
Fox's Tanya J. Powers, unlike Pfizer and Moderna, this vaccine is just one dose. The House plans to vote today on a $1.9 trillion COVID financial aid plan, but one provision, a $15 minimum wage, cannot be included in the Senate's version. The parliamentarian rejected it.
She determined that the minimum wage increase does not qualify under special budget reconciliation rules. Now, that was met with disappointment at the White House. Speaker Pelosi also disappointed, saying the minimum wage provision will stay in today's bill when they vote.
Fox's Griff Jenkins. America's listening to Fox News.
So much is happening, but who can you trust? You need to check out Newsmax TV, the fastest-growing news channel in America. Watch it on all major cable systems and see shows with Sean Spicer, Greg Kelly, Lindsey Keith, Stinchfield, and Rob Schmidt. They're giving you the real story on Biden and Pelosi. So download the free Newsmax app on your smartphone now or watch Newsmax on Roku, YouTube, Pluto, Zumo, and more. 30 million Americans watch Newsmax TV. So should you.
Heard the good news about COVID-19 vaccines? They're here, but you can do more than wait for your turn. Here's how. Stay at least 6 feet away from folks you don't live with, and it's risky to be indoors with them too. And masks? Well, they protect both the person wearing them and the folks around them. Wear a mask, watch your distance, and make a big difference now.
Learn more about vaccines at cdc.gov/coronavirus. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
Now what's trending from the 77 WABC Early News Desk. I'm Deborah Valentine, 36 degrees in Manhattan, clearing skies. A Long Island cemetery employee leveling out the bottom of a grave was killed yesterday morning when the sides collapsed around him. Now, this happened about 8:30 yesterday morning at Washington Memorial Park in Mount Sinai. Killed was Rodwin Ellicock. He was buried more than 7 feet inside that deep hole. His co-workers attempted to dig him out, but they were unsuccessful, an investigation ongoing. Well, indoor dining ramping up today in New York City from 25% to 35%, but the restaurant industry is suing, claiming it is not enough to keep businesses afloat during the viral pandemic.
City restaurants lag behind other restaurants in the state where capacity is at 50%. Many restaurant owners are very angry about that and have taken up the issue in court. According to the restaurant dining site Grub Street, the New York City Hospitality Alliance is calling for increasing capacity to 50%, a minimum they say restaurants would need to continue just to keep their heads above water. I'm Bob Brown for 77 WABC News.
Glendale, Queens. A passenger fatally shot when a driver pulled up to his vehicle and opened fire. This 25-year-old victim was in the front seat of a Chevy Malibu at the intersection of Myrtle Avenue and Woodhaven Boulevard when this black four-door sedan pulled alongside. Now, this happened about 12:45 a.m. this morning. The 25-year-old was pronounced dead at Jamaica Hospital. That black sedan with New Jersey plates fled the scene. And down on Worth Street in Chinatown last evening, about 6:30, another violent attack against an Asian American. The Asian Hate Crimes Task Force is investigating. A 36-year-old Chinatown resident whose condition is said to be deteriorating was stabbed in his back with a large kitchen knife. He underwent surgery, but he is not expected to survive.
I don't even have a word to describe how I feel right now.
Now, a suspect turned himself into the Manhattan DA's office and was being questioned by officers from the 5th Precinct. No charges yet announced. Dow futures down 47 from the 77 WABC Early News Desk. I'm Deborah Valentine.
The Rooster for your morning. All the news you need to know. It's the WABC Early News on 77 WABC. Now, here's Juliet Huddy and Frank Morano.
Happy Friday, everybody. We are bringing you all the news at this early hour. I'm Frank Morano.
Hi, Frankie. Happy Friday. I'm Juliet Huddy. Deb is following breaking news at the news desk. Christian and Gabby are at the controls, and we have a little surprise in a moment. Sid is not in for sports today. He's out today. But guess who's in for him? Exjin himself, and he's done a very fine job so far in the last hour. Meantime, this is what everybody's going to be talking about today. Lady Gaga is devastated. She's reportedly isolated in her hotel in Rome because she's shooting a film over there. At the news that her friend and dog walker was shot in the chest, her two dogs were taken. It's a horrible, horrible theft and just an awful story. We're going to give you the update on that. Also, another update on Mrs. El Chapo, the real story behind her arrest. And like I said, Christian's coming up, and also the former House Speaker, guy that is no stranger to a couple cocktails once in a while and a tanning bed. Oh, man, he got salty when he was doing his audiobook. I love this story. I can't wait to tell you about it.
And it's going to be interesting to see how that audiobook turns out, if it actually includes crying, because he did a fair amount of crying as well. Somebody who has made the phrase, there's no crying in traffic, his life mantra, has traffic and transit on the sevens. It's Joe Nolan. How's it looking so far, Joe?
Well, good news. Things are getting a lot better now on the Long Island Expressway. Still slow, Little Neck Parkway to Springfield Boulevard. That earlier accident, though, has been cleared. All lanes have been reopened, but now we're also slow between the Van Wyck and Woodhaven Boulevard, which is, you know, normal. Cross Allen as well, southbound at Northern Boulevard. That accident also has been cleared up and out of the way, so that has eased out. Same thing on the Garden State Parkway, southbound through 127. There was an earlier collision. That has been cleared. Now, mass transit, everybody on or close to schedule, and alternate side once again today is suspended. With traffic on the 7s, I'm Joe Nolan, Talk Radio 77 WABC.
All right, thanks, Joe. Coming up, how is the weekend weather shaping up? Well, not great. Plus, Frank's got your business report. And he is going to be talking about Toyota building a smart city. Believe it or not, yes.
This is the WABC Early News.
6:09, this is the WABC Early News. Happy Friday. Hope you're having a good weekend, whatever you end up doing. If the weather is a concern for you and you're wondering what it's going to look like, Juliet Huddy can tell you exactly what to expect. How's the weather looking this weekend, Juliet?
Lousy. It's really crappy. Today is the beginning of the weekend, if you like to look at it that way. And it'll be a very nice day. We're going to have sunshine throughout most of the day up until about 3-ish when we have some clouds start to roll in. But the temperatures will be fairly mild compared to what we have, probably mid-40s, 44, 45-ish. By this evening, we'll start to see cloudy skies with periods of rain as we head late into the night, unfortunately. And that is going to stick around all weekend. Saturday, we will have rain, a high of 52. So it's not going to be snowy or anything, but still rain. Sunday, 44 degrees. But rain, and we're talking about an 87% chance of rain, so get used to it. By Monday, however, the rain will start to subside early. We'll have morning clouds, and they will part for afternoon sun. And here's the great news, I guess, just in time for the work week. It'll be 54 degrees and sunny by the afternoon, so it's going to be a really nice day on Monday. Unfortunately, everybody's going to be back to work. Tuesday will be a gorgeous day, sunny, 43. It'll be chilly, but that sun will be out there, windy, slightly windy, so it might be feeling a little bit more chilly, but not a bad day to sit outside and have a coffee or a cocktail. And Wednesday, we should be looking at some more showers. Unfortunately, it's 36 degrees right now in Manhattan.
All right. Well, a fallen war hero in Arizona is being remembered in a new way. His children just found out their father received a Purple Heart more than 3 decades after he died. And now they have it. The medal was recently donated with other military awards to a thrift shop. A volunteer felt it should be returned, so she researched the owner and tracked down some of his 8 kids. Turns out they had been estranged from their dad their whole life, but are now grateful to have a piece of him.
Well, Lady Gaga is offering $500,000 reward, no questions asked, she said, for the return of her French bulldogs. This is a horrible story. Her pal, Ryan Fisher, has been dog-sitting for her 3 French bulldogs. She is shooting in Rome, and apparently they're longtime friends. The 30-year-old Fisher took the 3 pups out for a walk near his home in West Hollywood Wednesday night, nice area of town, by the way, when he was attacked. 2 guys jump out of the back of a van, try to grab the dogs. He struggles. They shoot him in the chest. 2 of the French bulldogs were stolen. Police found the 3rd one clinging to Fisher as he lay barely breathing on the sidewalk. Neighbors apparently are now describing hearing his blood curdling. That's their quote, screams. when the gunman jumped out of that car and shot him. Lady Gaga is over in Rome in her hotel. She is obviously devastated. And it appears that she is not on the set of her film that she's shooting, Gucci. Understandably, she was just completely freaked out after hearing the news. So we'll keep you up on that. But apparently Fisher is recovering, so he's going to be okay. Thank God.
All right. Well, a good news, bad news day for our colleague Curtis Sliwa. Curtis Sliwa, who can be heard every day on this radio station from noon to three, is also a Republican candidate for mayor. Well, the news first came that a Bronx lawyer has filed a complaint with the campaign finance board against the Guardian Angels founder, charging he's violating campaign laws by promoting his candidacy on his own WABC talk show. The claim is that this is an in-kind contribution. No reaction yet from the campaign finance board, who say they'll review the complaint. Now, on a better note, he was endorsed yesterday by the Brooklyn Republican Party and, somewhat surprisingly, was not endorsed by the Manhattan Republican Party, who chose to endorse Fernando Mateo. Surprising because that party is chaired by Andrea Katsimatidis, the daughter of our radio station's owner, John Katsimatidis.
Wow. Wait, what do you think about the whole in-kind portion?
You know what? I honestly, I'm not a lawyer, and it's very much a legal issue. There's so little precedent. There's no precedent since we've had the campaign finance board for a radio talk show host who does that full-time as his job, running for citywide office in New York City. So this is the first time they're going to have to make a decision about this. I don't know what to make of it, to be honest.
I mean, I get it, but by the same token, yeah, it's a very unique situation. So I'm actually really excited to see what happens with that. In the meantime, Sid.
I bet you are.
Shush. In the meantime, Sid Rosenberg. Well, I just find it fascinating because
a lot of times
we talk about certain people that we like, that we know because we've been in the business for a long time, and then their opponent, you know, people who are running for office, but then their opponents get upset because we're talking so positively about them. So it's a tough world. I think there needs to be a little bit more clarity when it comes to the rules and regulations. But Sid Rosenberg is off. Now he has his sports show this Sunday, right? Isn't that happening? Yeah.
That's right. The Sports Spectacular.
Yeah. The guy has been just going nonstop. So in his place today, while he is taking a well-deserved day off, is our boy Christian, X-Gen, as we call him, with the sports.
Well, thank you, guys. So Juliet's weather report, not great for the weekend. So let's start somewhere that's sunny and warm down in Florida, where the Mets and Yankees are in full swing with spring training. Spring training baseball opens this weekend. The Yankees taking on the Blue Jays on Sunday. Manager Aaron Boone announced his starter for Sunday's game will be Mike King. Mike King is looking to fight for a spot in the Bombers' rotation. Now, Brett Gardner spoke to the media for the first time since officially signing his deal with the New York Yankees. The 14-year MLB vet said this is where he always wanted to be.
I was hopeful the whole time. I've never been shy about my desire to finish my career here. And obviously, you know, very, very excited that it all worked out.
Over in Port St. Lucie, the Mets are trying to figure out where to put Dominic Smith. Now, he's a natural first baseman, but the position is obviously occupied by Pete Alonso. So the likelihood is that Smith will end up playing left field, which he struggled with in the past. However, he is growing more and more confident with his ability to play the outfield.
It's a learning curve. It's a learning process. And I feel like, you know, I'm taking that challenge and I'm getting better and better at it. And like I said, I mean, I'm getting comfortable out there, and I know that I could do it.
Mets' first spring training game is Monday against the Miami Marlins. Back here in New York, the Brooklyn Nets made it 8 straight wins last night with a 129-92 win over the Orlando Magic. Kyrie Irving leading the way with 27 points. James Harden added 20, and Landry Shamet added 19 off the bench. By the way, the Nets are doing this all without Kevin Durant. The Knicks had a nice night over at Madison Square Garden. Emmanuel Quickley was feeling the love from the MSG faithful during a record night for the Knicks. They put up 140 points in a 140-121 win over the Sacramento Kings. That was only the second time since 1988 that the Knicks have done that. Out on the island, the New York Islanders continue their hot streak against the Boston Bruins. Now, Boston's only lost four regulation games this season. Three of those four have come to the New York Islanders. Anthony Beauvillier broke a 2-2 tie, which led the way for a 5-goal third period and a 7-2 2 when the Rangers take on the Bruins tonight at Madison Square Garden. With sports at 15 and 45, I am Christian Arnold for the WABC Early News Hour.
Bravo. Bravo, Action.
Frank, what does that one get?
That was very strong. I was an 8.1.
Ah, see, it's going up each time.
Wow. Absolutely.
I'm taking Frank's criticism, and I'm applying it to the right areas.
Yeah, all right. Very nice.
Clearly.
Very nice.
All right. Well, 617, somebody that has not gotten an 8.1 in many years for his traffic reports, is the man responsible for traffic and transit on the 7s. That's Joe Nolan. Hello, Joe.
Well, still delays coming inbound on the Long Island Expressway out by the city line between Little Neck Parkway and Springfield Boulevard. Again, that earlier accident there has now been cleared up and out of the way, but still some residual traffic left over. Same thing as you come southbound on the Cross Island or Northern Boulevard, an accident there with two lanes out. Garden State Parkway, good all the way up and down. Same thing on the Turnpike. Inbound at the Hudson River crossings, less than a five-minute delay on alternate side. Again, today suspended. This report of service of America's best contacts and eyeglasses. Don't overpay for glasses. Get two pairs of free exams, $69.95. That's not just a better deal. It's America's best. Book your exam online today. In certain states, eye exams provided by independent ophthalmologists. See store for details. I'm Joe Nolan with traffic. Traffic on the 7s. Talk radio 77 WABC.
Well, I've got weather on the 8s. Not all the time, though. Sunshine and few afternoon clouds today. It is going to be right around mid-40s, 44, 45. That's going to be fantastic. Unfortunately, by later on in the day, the clouds start to roll in, and tonight we're going to see rain. Saturday, we'll see rain. Sunday, rain, although the temperatures will be pretty mild between the mid-40s to low-50s throughout the weekend. By Monday, we should see the rain clearing by the morning. We'll have a little bit of cloud cover then, but then it'll clear up and we'll have sun in the afternoon and a high of 54, which is really sounds great. By Tuesday, the temperatures drop, but the sun becomes even blobbier and bigger. And I just say that because I'm looking at the weather report there. It's got the big sun. And it'll be a nice day. Wednesday, we have some showers, but hopefully that'll maybe swing off to a different part of the country and we don't have to see the showers anymore. I'm really getting tired of rain. Frank, do you agree?
I do. Well, you know, when I don't mind rain that much because especially now that I'm nocturnal, when it's a nice day out, I feel really guilty about sleeping inside in the middle of the day. Now, when it's raining and dreary and cloudy and gray, I feel no guilt whatsoever about staying home all day, sleeping, and then watching a little television.
So true. Christian, you know. Christian, what do you said the same thing. Yeah.
Yes. No. I mean, the worst feeling in the world is it being sunny and nice out and you sleeping till 4 o'clock in the afternoon and wasting a beautiful day.
Yeah. You're just kind of like, I'm wasting my life away. Gabby, same.
Oh, yeah. You think sleeping till 4 o'clock, Christian? Try sleeping all day long from 10 a.m. till 10 p.m. That's
Whoa.
The worst.
Well, no, that sounds amazing, actually. That sounds like a dream come true. Gabby, wait till you're 50. It all goes to hell. Trust me. All right. Where are we going right now? I'm sorry. You told me this, Christian. Oh, yeah. We've got some headlines to get to. And Bernie and Sid, by the way, are up at 6:30. And Sid is off today. So that's why Christian was doing the he was doing the sports. But Bernie's got a great show, as usual. So make sure you stay tuned for that.
Yes, and as part of that show, my friend Lauren Conlon is going to be on Yay! To bring folks all the latest entertainment news, and I think she might be joining WABC in a more regular capacity by popular demand.
Yes!
They'll have Lydia Reports, who's always popular, and lest anyone think that they won't be promoting Sid's anti-Saturday Night Live rally this weekend, Alan Dershowitz is going to be on, as will Dove Hykind. So you can imagine there will be a great deal of promotion of that upcoming rally this weekend. But some other news we're keeping an eye on. The search is on in Illinois for the owner of a bird described as loud and belligerent. Seems the guinea fowl is just wandering loose in the small town of Swansea. Neighbors say it smells and won't leave. It's gotten so bad. Police are involved. They posted an image on Facebook of the bird sitting on someone's front door mat. They wrote, "If you have lost your chicken, call us." They ended with serious police work here, folks.
The former Speaker of the House got a little salty, and it is on tape, and he wants it on tape. John Boehner was recording his audiobook, and apparently he likes to go off script. He admits in one instance he poured some wine, which he's known to do. And while talking about Ted Cruz, he reportedly veered off course just enough to tell Cruz to go F himself. On the House, a Washington memoir comes out April 13th.
This is so interesting because he's narrating his own audiobook,
yeah,
and he's inserting profanity,
yeah,
in the audio version,
yeah,
that's not even in the book,
right,
that he himself wrote.
I like to read. I'm not the biggest fan of audiobooks, but I will be getting that audiobook because that sounds riveting.
If anybody deserves a radio show, I think it might be John Boehner.
Oh, my God, really?
Lincoln Center plans on getting crafty amid the coronavirus pandemic. Starting in April, the Performing Arts Center expects to create at least 10 outdoor stages for performers and rehearsals. It's part of the Restart Stages initiative, which is announced yesterday. Performances will be put on in coordination with the New York Blood Center, distributions with New York City, and a New York City primary election polling place.
All right. I promised the update on Mrs. El Chapo, and here it is. As you know, she was a beauty queen. She apparently turned herself in to police when she arrived in D.C. So the question is, why would she do that? Now, some are saying that it is a sign that she could be cooperating with investigators to turn on the Sinaloa cartel, which, I mean, I hope she's getting ready for some plastic surgery with that one because she's going to need to go into witness protection. U.S. investigators are apparently confident that with putting pressure on her, it'll make her turn on her husband. I don't know what the point of that is because he's already in prison, but they do believe that she has information, and I can't imagine that she doesn't, that could bring down that cartel.
And by the way, this weekend is going to be one of the most watched political events in months and one of the most watched conservative events of the entire year. It's going to be CPAC. Now, obviously, the big news is that Donald Trump is going to be making his sort of political return at CPAC. But listeners should know, those of you that get to listen to Talk Radio 107.1, Rich Valdez, who's on from 10 a.m. to noon, is actually going to be doing his show live from CPAC in Orlando. And if you don't live on Long Island, you don't get 107.1, you can still listen online just by going to WABCradio.com. You can bet Rich is going to have all sorts of inside information that you're going to want to hear.
All right. And they number in the millions. And New York DA Cy Vance says he's got them all. Millions of pages of tax returns and other items belonging to former President Donald Trump. So this document dump apparently happened real quick, just hours after the U.S. Supreme Court denied the former president's last minute attempt to keep the records out of Vance's hands. We're talking about years spanning from about 2011, not about, from 2011 to 2019. Vance is looking into whether Trump and his company, the Trump Organization, engaged in any sort of tax insurance fraud schemes to defraud, things like that. And the net is growing wider when it comes to investigating the Trump world. On Twitter earlier this week, his eldest son, Don Jr., posted a rant calling the whole thing a witch hunt, but also asking, quote, if they do this to my father, who won't they do it to? And like I said earlier, Frank, that proved prophetic because multiple outlets, starting with the Daily Beast, reporting that Don Jr. is being investigated along with the CEO of the Trump Org, Alan Weisselberg.
Well, this is something that I hope never comes to my household. A Chinese man has to pay his ex-wife $7,700 for housework as part of their divorce proceedings. Representing the first case following a recently enacted law, the man was ordered to cover for the years his former spouse spent conducting domestic services. The woman said in court she deserved compensation for the over 2 years she spent raising their son with no substantial input from her husband, ex-husband. She was also given full custody of their child. The heavily debated law means that breadwinning ex-spouses could be required to pay for anything from cooking and cleaning to elder care.
Yikes. All right. Well, on that note, I hope everybody has a wonderful weekend. Enjoy today because it's going to be the only nice day in the next few days. And Birdie and Sid are coming up next.